go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined by Matt Brodsky, one of the bright young stars working on national security with a special expertise on threats that are developing from places like the Middle East and, of course, at the moment, most especially, North Korea. Matt has been writing on these subjects for years now, including prominently recently at Wikistrat and also at National Review. He is a senior Middle East analyst, in fact, at Wikistrat, as well as a senior fellow of the Strategic Studies Group. He is a man we've turned to frequently to try to get a read on some of the developments that are of such concern. And in particular, I'm pleased to talk with him about what's been happening with North Korea. Matt, welcome back. Thanks so much for joining me.
Great to be with you.
I'm interested. We're doing a sort of conversation with a number of people with different perspectives on the North Korean threat at the moment. But we typically are preoccupied with what is in our face, whether it's a missile launch or now a nuclear test or a threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack against the country, all of which are tremendously important, of course. But I did want to just kind of level set with you about what is going on inside this country. What is the nature of the regime we're confronting in Pyongyang under this dictator Kim Jong-un?
First of all, it treats its people as a report from a few years back in The Guardian recalled that basically they're treating the people like Nazis. It's very much a live concentration camp there. And the regime is hell-bent on getting weapons of mass destruction. And of course, it already has perfected nuclear technology domestically. And there's very little on the horizon that can stop them from by way of sanctions. And unfortunately, there's a large cadre of analysts out there who believe that, you know, we should just work on a deterrent strategy and basically welcome them in into the club of mutually assured destruction, which I would argue is a horrible thing.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that in a moment, but just staying with the nature of the regime, I've got kind of a working theory, Matt Brodsky, that any regime that treats its own people abysmally, and that doesn't begin really to describe what it's doing to the people of North Korea. They are, as you say, kind of in a national gulag. Some literally, and the rest of them certainly in a slightly less formal way, but just horrifically oppressive to its people. They're unlikely to treat everybody else, including our people, any better. So if that's so, it brings us to the question that you just touched on. Can we, in fact, deter a regime from engaging in the sorts of things that it's discussed just this weekend, which, as Hank Cooper said earlier in the program, could destroy the United States, perhaps with a single nuclear weapon detonated in space, if we simply are threatening to destroy their people? They don't seem to give a damn about their people, so could mutual assured destruction actually operate?
Yeah, of course. That's precisely the point. That won't deter them in much the same way that you look at their strategic partner, Iran, and, you know, the claim of annihilation can be working as an inducement and not as something that deters, you know, depending on their view of Shiism.
That afterlife thing particularly, yeah. Not sure that that's going on in North Korea, but certainly it is with Iranians who think they'll get to paradise more quickly and more surely through this mass annihilation strategy.
I'm just saying that the point there is that neither of these two places represent what the United States has had with the Soviet Union. It's totally different mindsets in both places. And in North Korea, yeah, they don't care about the people. If it's not just us deterring them on their nuclear weapons, the fact is they are massive proliferators to other really bad rogue regimes who are against the United States. And that presents a whole cascade of problems.
It does indeed. You spoke a moment ago about the strategic partnership between Iran and North Korea. We'll be talking more about it in a moment with Fred Flights, but I would like to get your thoughts on this. You've recently written a piece at National Review, Matt Brodsky, about North Korea's axis in the Middle East, including with Iran, but also with its proxy Syria, Hezbollah, of course, as consumers, it would appear, of the weapons of mass destruction programs that are, for Kim Jong-un, I think unquestionably, cash crops. Talk a bit about that relationship and the dangers that it poses to, among other places, Israel.
And there is a UN report that was reported in Reuters that during the past 6 months, there have been two shipments from North Korea that were going to the exact same agency in Syria, and they were intercepted. Then you go to the understanding that last night, Israel apparently destroyed a chemical weapons facility that is inside of Syria, and it's in Hama, not near Aleppo, but and took that place out. And that was poised again to be giving weapons from Syria to Hezbollah. And obviously, Israel has red lines, and that's one that they're not going to allow to be crossed. But it's a very long, decades-old relationship between Syria and between North Korea, and we already know a lot about the relationship between Iran and Syria.
Right. One other example of that relationship between Syria and North Korea, of course, was the construction in Syria of essentially an identical copy of the plutonium processing plant, I believe it was, that a reactor that the North Koreans had ostensibly put out of business and then brought back on stream as a result of a, you know, sort of our extensive diplomatic dance with them. But the Israelis also took that out, thank God. But it really just underscores your larger point, Matt Brodsky, that this is a, if not the most dangerous regime on the planet, certainly one of them. And if it has any rivals for that distinction, such as it is, it's actively working with them as well. Very frightening thing. Hey, Matt, just more generally, in the few minutes we have left, would you talk about how this looks from Israel's point of view? Obviously, it's got red lines and it's taking actions to protect them. But is there now in Israel a growing alarm at the state of the presence in Syria of the Iranians, and not just Hezbollah, but actual, you know, Revolutionary Guard elements as well?
Absolutely. The fear in Syria from Israel's perspective is Iran, and frankly, a U.S. policy that has not addressed that really at all.
Except to have emboldened and enabled it, one could argue, under the Obama administration.
Exactly. That, yes, but so far, we've been locking in that type of policy in Syria, not broadly throughout the Middle East, but in Syria, if you were to look at Israel's perspective, that would be the case. And more problematic from their perspective is that if it were just Iran forces, if it were their forces on the ground that they had to deal with, then okay, that's something they can deal with from the air. It's Russia and their bases and their anti-aircraft equipment that is the problem. The fact that Russia built a very important air base as soon as they got into Syria in September 2015. This is why Israel reportedly launched their weapons from Lebanon and not into Syria, because these chemical weapon facilities and the moving of Assad's air force to this Russian base after President Trump did his Tomahawk missile strike, this is all to remain under the Russian air umbrella, and that puts Israel in the position of going to Russia to find out its room to maneuver, not Washington.
Fascinating and very concerning, needless to say. Matt Brodsky, thank you very much for the time today and the work that you do at Wikistrat. We're delighted to have you with us and hope that you'll come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk with Fred Flights, as promised, about, well, all of this, North Korea, Iran, and what's going on inside our own intelligence committees, and much more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.